Welcome. The March 20th, 2023 Finance and Administration Committee meeting will now begin. This meeting is being conducted in person at the Rio Vista Treatment Plant Board Room as a convenience to the public. Members of the public may alternatively participate remotely by using the toll-free call-in number or Zoom webinar link provided in the committee packet, which is posted on the SCV Water website. In the event there is a disruption of service, which prevents the agency from broadcasting this meeting, the meeting to members of the public, this meeting will not be postponed or rescheduled, but will continue without remote participation. The remote participation option is being provided as a convenience to the public and is not required. Members of the public are welcome to attend the meeting in person. For members of the public who are present and would like to comment, please complete and submit a public comment card to the administrator to help expedite this process. To participate in the public comment from a computer, tablet, or smartphone, please click the raise hand feature in Zoom or dial star 9 when I announce the agenda item which you wish to speak. When it is your turn to speak, please dial star 6 to unmute. The procedures for tonight's meeting are as follows. I will introduce each agenda item. Staff will present. I will ask for public comments, first from members attending in person and then those attending remotely. I will then ask for discussion and questions from the committee members, and these will be taken in order. Hands are raised. The committee then comes to a consensus to move this item to the board for consideration. Any PowerPoint presentations shown at tonight's meeting will be posted on the SCV Water website. Tonight we have, or just late this afternoon tonight, we have all members present. And we'll continue on the back page. So the first item of business is the Pledge of Allegiance. Please stand with me. Put your hand over your heart and follow. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Item number two is public comment time. Do we have any public comment?
No public comment at this time.
Thank you. Well, we move on to item three. We are polling this item from tonight's agenda as presented and will be presented at the April 17th, 2023 committee meeting, regular committee meeting. If any of the board members have any questions or comments that would they like to get clarified in between that time, please contact either Courtney or Rochelle. They'd be glad to talk to you about things.
I'd like to make some comments without asking questions and without going back to staff at the moment. Would that be all right?
You have the floor.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. So I actually appreciate the opportunity to, as a committee, for maybe us to be able to discuss this a little bit and maybe provide some policy guidance before it would come back. Well, it is on the agenda.
Director Colley, please just make your comments, and we're not going to be discussing it any further, other than if you want to make some comments. All right. Because it's been pulled, that agenda item.
Well, all right. I mean, it's on my agenda, and I'm not sure that we didn't vote to pull it or anything else. So I'm not sure why we would not take the opportunity to discuss it. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I've got quite a few concerns with the approach. First, let me mention that I'm very much in favor of the buy-in approach, and I've been for 20 years trying to get to that, but I don't think that we're quite there yet. The denominator in this in what is the draft here in front of us assumes the number of connections that build out. So I would suggest to you that that's not the appropriate denominator. The appropriate denominator should be the folks that are currently here and the next connection. So to assume that the denominator should be the total number of connections of build out that may or may not happen. Between now and build out, there certainly will be improvements made to the system. And so there will be additional investments. The study suggests that they may be small, but doesn't tell us how small or what they might be. So I would prefer that we use as denominator essentially the current number of connections, which will substantially raise, of course, the connection fee. The other question I've got is that this connection fee doesn't make any allowances for contributed capital. So if a developer comes in and develops a new neighborhood, they put in things like fire hydrants, they put in pipes, they put in lots of infrastructure. They may even contribute a tank or two. And I don't see anything in here that would allow them to take a credit off of that contributed capital. And so it seems to me that would reduce their fee and should be reduced because they would not be buying in, so to speak, to other people's fire hydrants and other people's storage tanks necessarily. Another concern I have is the value.
Respectfully, we cannot do this. We're off agenda, and this has different weight than people asking questions offline, which I did. We're either going to talk about it as an agenda item or not, but extensive comments, I believe, is a Brown Act violation. I'm very concerned about this.
I would like to stop.
I would point out again that it is on the agenda.
Okay, we'll talk about it.
I would like to talk about it. I think that's appropriate for the committee to talk about it. I think very much we should. I hope so. I very much want that.
All right. So then if that's the case, Director Colley, can we ask the staff for any input?
Absolutely. That's right. Always appropriate in a discussion.
I guess I think we would be free to take questions and comments, but we don't have the consultants here. They were planning on making a presentation, but it got postponed till the 17th of April. And they're also the ratepayer advocate. So I'd be happy to, you know, take down comments and any questions that we can answer. But, you know, but most of the decisions will probably be answered by the consultant in April.
Well, I hope the decisions are made by the board. But recommendations, I would hope, made
so
by consultant.
Answers to some of your questions from the consultants.
Okay.
I think I was about to suggest that the valuation of the wells are incredibly low. Well, E15 has got a present value of under 400K, which seems incredibly low. And I'm not sure that all the real estate got pulled out of things which are then assigned a devaluation. I have a Villa Canyon tank site that's been depreciated that I don't understand. So hopefully that can be looked at and fixed if it needs to be fixed. Anyway, I think it'd be appropriate for this committee to discuss whether or not those policy decisions make sense.
Get in there.
Well, and again, I'll was this noticed that to the public that it was pulled, or is the public aware that this was?
So after the packet went out, we had a stakeholder meeting. It was our second stakeholder meeting, and at that time on Thursday, that a couple of the stakeholders that were here asked that it be postponed so they had time to more time to review the study. So at that time, we talked with April and said that the best thing to do is at the day of the meeting to just pull the item and discuss it at a later date.
Okay. So public that could have potentially commented on this are not here.
The stakeholders were all contacted to let them know that they were postponing
the discussion. Right, right. So, yeah, I don't want to discuss it. I will say that I had comments in to Ms. Patterson and got some answers back. I actually probably have some follow-up questions related to how this is or isn't consistent with what the other divisions are doing. Specifically in my follow-up, which I'll just do now, would be I know, and I know Courtney's here, I know at one time Santa Clarita Water would do a change of use fee with no construction element. So, and you gave the example, you know, somebody moving, it was warehouse to auto repair. And there was a charge for the change in use with no upsize of meter. I would like to know if this is also being done in the Valencia area, or if they're going to be done differently. So I just like a comparison when it comes to the board to discuss, but I don't think I want to talk extensively about it right now.
Okay. I agree. I can wait also. I had a couple of questions I asked Rochelle this morning, and they were answered appropriately, but we should have the consultants there to do the presentation, and then we can go with the other comments that we may have at that time. Is that, and Director Colley, do you have anything to add to that? Okay, so we move on to item number 4. Recommend approval of resolution, recommend approval of recycled water coordinator technician classification, and it'll be presented by Rochelle.
We just have a real quick presentation here. So if you can go ahead and go to the next slide, Erica. Okay, so in May of 2022, the Board of Directors approved a job classification for a recycled water coordinator technician, and for the position to be placed in the classification plan. The intent was to begin recruiting for the position early in fiscal year 22-23, but it was then realized that the job description was more for an entry-level position. Looking at the needs of the agency would need to expand the levels and establish new classification specifications. So the agency recognized the need for a dedicated recycled water coordinator tech at its as its recycled water system expands. And as the job expands, so the job duties increase, and that staff recognize the need to identify and define a career path for the development of this job family. So we prepared, we contacted CPSHR, who did our class and comp study, to have a specific class and comp study for just this classification series. And then they developed a career path for this classification series and also the compensation piece. Next slide. So the classification series, so we engaged CPSHR. They received some background from the agency. They looked at an expanded labor market from 11 to 13. So we had 13 in our typical benchmark agencies, but not all of those agencies had a recycled water coordinator tech or an equivalent position. So they looked outside of our benchmark agencies. They researched salary data and the classifications specifications, and they performed a job match, and that's in your attachment one of your packet. Next slide. So the recycled water coordinator tech series. So the CPR has developed and recommended a recycled water coordinator tech one. That would be an entry level classification. That's the one that's currently budgeted on our position control at range 25. They have recommended a recycled water coordinator tech two, which is the journey level classification at a pay range of 28. And then a senior water resource coordinator, and that's the advanced jersey level classification, and that would be placed at range 31. Next slide. So the budgetary impact for the recycled water coordinator technician was budgeted at range 25, as I had mentioned, for fiscal year 22-23. Management would like the option to hire at the advanced journey level classification, which is at range 31, if we receive applications with somebody that does have that advanced journey level experience. And then if the agency were to hire at range 31, the fiscal year 23-24 salary and benefit budget impact will be about $2,800 per month and about $33,000 annually. This, I just wanted to also let you know that there are a couple other class and comp studies that are underway. Some of these series, like this one, one is the mechanic series. We have a SCADA technician series, water resource specialist series, and the utility worker series. And then some future studies, which are in another agenda item, will be for a QA/QC laboratory supervisor, a treatment plant operator supervisor, and a government affairs analyst. Next slide. So the recommendation for this item is that the Finance Administration Committee recommend the Board of Directors approve a new classification for Recycled Water Coordinator Tech 1, Tech 2, and a Senior Coordinator Tech, and assign the classifications to salary ranges 25, 28, and 31, respectively. And that concludes my report. And we do have Mike Elvord on the line if we have any specific questions on the task that the recycled water coordinator tech will do.
Do we have any public comment?
No public comment at this time.
All right. Directors, Director Gusite, Vice President Gusite.
I just had I think this was when I was not on the board. So I was trying to understand if there's enough work for this position. I had asked just before the meeting how many recycled water connections we have. And I think you said 18. That explain to me how that would be enough work for a full-time position if that's all they're doing. And then if they are not doing, if they're doing other things, could another position do this? In other words, we have other field techs doing various things. Will this person be another field technician who specializes in recycled water, or you know, can you explain that to me? Because it doesn't seem to me that there's enough work for this position now, and, you know, maybe not multiple positions until we're at full build out. Why do we need this different than a field tech now?
Do you want me to take that, Rochelle?
Yes, please.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for the question, Vice President Gusai.
Hello.
The short answer is yes, there is more than enough work. Not only will this person be the recycled water coordinator, they will handle all of our cross-connection control activities. So when we merged, the former Valencia had about 3,200 backflows. The former Santa Clarita, I think slightly more than that, around maybe 3,100. And the new hall had about 500, if I'm not mistaken. So what had happened was the cross-connection, there was only one agency that had a full-time cross-connection control person, and that was Valencia. And so that person not only had to do what they were doing before, but they had to take on an additional 36 to 3,700 backflows. And recently we had passed that employee over to the inspection department, and that workload was handed back to operations. Thank you, Courtney. So not only will this person handle the existing 18 connections, but will also handle all the cross connection. However, the workload that is coming down the pipe for recycled water is increasingly increasing a lot. So one of the things we're going to have to start doing is one of the things we're dealing with is having to review plans for dual plumbed. So the Division of Drinking Water is starting to view if you have a recycled water that's crossing a potable water line in the parkway, then it would be classified as a dual plumbed. So our agency is going to have to start reviewing plans that are associated with that. Gosh, Courtney would know better than me because all of this is currently in the engineering side. I think there's maybe a dozen or so in Mission Village. There's a half a dozen currently in Vista Canyon. And then in addition, the other work that they're going to have to be doing is helping with the engineering reports that's submitted to the regional board and the Division of Drinking Water. So yes, there's plenty of work to go around. And what's going to end up happening, and we will phase this as more recycled water connections come on, is that it will turn into a department. It will have not only a senior, but it'll probably have a one, maybe even a two as well. And the reason why we wanted to at least recruit for a one, two, or a senior at this time is that we need someone that can hit the ground running, that knows how to do the work, that can assist Ryan By, because this person, he or she will be reporting directly to Ryan By once the recruitment starts. So I see Courtney's on the screen. Go ahead, Court, add to whatever I just rambled on about.
Yeah, and it direct reference to your question on do we have existing staff that can do this? We currently utilize consultants to do our construction, our recycled water coordination, both with DDW. That consultant is kind of used in between engineering and Ryan By. In coordination, they attend our DDW meetings. They're working on the engineering reports and the notice of intent for usage that we have to go through. There's a lot of paperwork to get to recycled water use that we need somebody to coordinate and be on top of on a day-to-day basis that is challenging when you're in the middle of trying to get the construction projects move forward. And then, as Mike said, it's actually a lot more than about a dozen. It's almost two dozen at Mission Village currently of recycled water meters. And all of those meters in that dual plumb scenario now have to coordinate with all of the potable water meters that are also there. So there is a lot of work there. Also coordinating with the county on the public health, the county health, in order to use this recycled water. So it's a critical position. Every other agency usually has a recycled water coordinator as you're stepping into it. And I would say that we definitely are going to have them busy, and we're going to need them to be busy the day they arrive.
Okay. Just a few thoughts. I mean, the agencies we surveyed, not everybody had one though for the salary survey. I mean, I would say the majority didn't have them, but the cross-flow connection issue is compelling and sounds like a big workload already. So, I mean, it would have been clearer to me if it was like recycled water cross-flow coordinator or some other thing. Because if you just say just recycled water, then I'm like, we don't have that much recycled water yet. But it sounds like they'll be doing a lot of other things.
Definitely to start, yeah.
Yeah, and eliminating a need for a consultant. Is that correct?
That's the goal.
When they're up to speed. Running, yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. All right, thank you.
Director Colley.
Just a quick comment. I would have liked to have seen in the financial considerations the savings from a consultant to offset the expense. So would have been nice to have that up front in the report. Thanks.
Director Armitage.
Thank you. Mr. Albert already answered one of my questions in response to Vice President Gutzeit. So thank you for that. And then my only other kind of very general question is, what's journey level? That's the first time I'm seeing that term used. Can you explain that, please?
We call it a senior, but it's just the more advanced level, and that's in that class. So a 1, 2, and then a senior. Yes.
The only comment I have is that it is needed to be a position filled as a recycled water system is brought up online, only because it just provides that the rules are being followed by the newest users of the recycled water. And that is very important in the health department and the county's health department are concerned that we have those kind of people overseeing the recycled water program as it's being used by secondary users. So with that, should we put this item on consent or? All right, okay. We'll put it on consent. The next one it's up. So we're on to item number 5. Recommend approval of staffing for fiscal year 2023-24 and proposed fiscal year 2024-25. Rochelle?
Yes, so the activities of the agency in its current form have increased since the merger as we implement SCV Water's mission, face new challenges and mandates, strive to meet our operational and maintenance requirements, and take on additional customers and facilities. The agency requires organizational changes in staff to deal with these challenges. As part of the budget process each year, supervisors and managers review their departmental staffing levels. If there is a need to add staff, justification is requested in order for the executive staff to review the proposed need and determine which position request to bring forward for consideration by the Finance and Administration Committee and Board of Directors. Next slide. So since the merger in 2018, staffing levels are projected to increase from 223 to 248 by fiscal year 24-25. The total position increase since the merger is 25, which is an average of about 3.13 positions per year. We have here our impact to our operating budget in fiscal year 23-24 with a staff that's proposed about $596,000. And in fiscal year 24-25, the impact to the operating budget at $785,000 for a total of $1.382 million. Next slide. So as previously mentioned, at the beginning of the budget process, a request is made of each department to identify their staffing needs and propose additional staff for the upcoming biennial budget. The justification of additional staffing needs is reviewed at the executive staff meeting, and based on the justifications, the general manager directs management staff to present the recommended positions to each of their committees. The finance staff performs an analysis of the proposed positions to be presented to the Finance Administration Committee in order to receive approval to incorporate the positions into the annual budget. Next slide. So based on the process described, funding for the 7 regular positions and 1 limited duration position is proposed, that's proposed to be added in fiscal year 23-24. Is $586,000. Each position, there's a gross salary and benefits in those middle two columns. And then the net financial impact based on, there's one that has a mid-year recruitment as well as some expense offsets for the inspector and mechanic series. Next slide. This is the fiscal year 24-25 proposed budget impact, $687,000. And there's also a couple mid-year recruitments and as well as some expense offsets for the engineer and the fleet mechanic. Next slide. So in order to comply with the NELAC Institute quality standards, a quality control, quality assurance position is required. These new regulations are being phased in, and our current staff is managing the responsibilities. As sampling requirements continue to increase due to PFAS contamination, an additional position to oversee the quality control is needed. This would be a new classification and requires a classification and compensation study to determine salary range. For budget purposes, in fiscal year 24-25, this position has been placed at a range with similar supervisors at range 35. So the proposed annual salary is $113,000 plus burden and benefits of $49,000 for a total budget impact of $162,000. Next slide. To fully staff all utility operations crews in order to properly operate and maintain the transmission and distribution system pipeline and associated appurtenances, an additional utility worker is being requested. This position is an existing classification at range 25. The annual salary is $69,408 plus burden and benefits of $30,206 for a total budget impact of $99,614. And this is also proposed in the second year budget, fiscal year 24-25. Next slide. This is for an administrative technician in the Water Resources Department. So since the formation of SCV Water, the department has had 2 administrative support personnel. There have been a couple of changes that have driven the need for additional support. One is the new regulatory requirement of the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act and the corresponding formation of the Groundwater Sustainability Agency. The GSA has necessitated significant staffing requirements to the area of administrative support, including existing department staff providing the duties of a board secretary for the GSA. The second major driving the need would be SCV Water's investment in grant administration. One of the historical administrative support staff persons was promoted to a management analyst too and is performing significant duties as it relates to grant administration. This investment in more aggressively pursuing grant funding has resulted in the acquisition of over $18.5 million in grant funding to the SCV service area in the last 2 years. SCV Water will be continuing to increase efforts to pursue additional funding, and the management analyst too will have additional responsibilities in managing the grants to ensure compliance with the terms of the agreements. The new administrative technician will fulfill the administration duties required by the department that are no longer able to be provided by the management analyst too. And the management analyst too has a budget impact for fiscal year 23-24 of $99,614. Next slide. So these next 2 slides, there's a senior water resource specialist and a water resource specialist. This we call again the journey level and the advanced journey level. So in the next decade, the Water Resources Department will continue to be engaging in projects and policy initiatives that require expanding existing knowledge in water resource management and planning to address issues including groundwater modeling, groundwater storage and recovery, groundwater dependent ecosystems, and managing aquatic environment. This is an advanced journey level position. and will perform technical activities, initiatives, and functions intended to ensure regulatory compliance and long-term sustainability of the region's water resource programs identified by SCV Water and the GSA. Areas of expertise this position will cover include hydrology, hydrogeology, aquatic biology, and environmental science. This would be a new classification and requires a classification and compensation study to determine salary range. For budget purposes, this position has been placed at range 39, which is at the same range as the senior water resources planner. The annual salary is $137,000 plus burden and benefits of $59,000 for an annual impact of $197,000. Due to the complexity of this new classification and the need for the classification and compensation study, this position has been budgeted at mid-year and will have a budget impact of about $98,000, which is half of the annual budget. Next slide. So this is the journey level position and will perform similar duties as the senior water resource specialist. This would be also be a new classification and require a class and comp study. For budget purposes, this position has been placed at range 37, which is at the same range as a water resources planner. The annual salary is $124,000 plus burden and benefits of $54,000 for an annual impact of $178,000. And then again, due to the complexity of this new classification and the need for the class and comp study, this position has been budgeted at mid-year and will have a budget impact of $89,000. Next slide. The government affairs analyst, this is for fiscal year 24-25. As the legislative and regulatory landscape for the water industry changes rapidly, this new position would manage legislative advocacy contracts, but would also engage proactively with local, state, and federal representatives, as well as the legislative offices of water industry organizations such as AQUA. Greater engagement would ensure timely and effective tracking of legislation and other opportunities to move the agency priorities forward in those areas, making sure we are at the table for those discussions and decisions. This position would also closely support grant efforts. This would be a new classification and requires a classification and compensation study to determine salary range. For budget purposes, this position has been placed at range 36, which is the same range as the senior management analyst classification. The annual salary is $118,000 plus burden and benefits of $51,000 for an annual impact of $170,000. Due to complexity of this new classification and a need for the classification and compensation study, this position has been budgeted at mid-year in fiscal year 24-25 and will have a budgeted impact of $85,000. This one is also estimated to have a corresponding savings from consultant fees of about 50%. The inspector, this is proposed for fiscal year 23-24. The agency, after the merger, had five inspectors plus the inspector supervisor. Approximately 2 years ago, there was a vacancy in the inspection department, and rather than fill the position at that time, it was reclassified as a right-of-way agent. We have continued to use consultants for the inspection duties required for the development and capital improvement program projects to cover the gap left by the fifth inspector. Replacing the missing inspector would allow the agency to use in-house staff to cover some of the inspection needs of our CIP projects. Using consultants for CIP projects typically costs between $300,000 to $400,000 for a six-month project. This position is an existing classification at range 29. The annual salary is $84,000 plus burden and benefits of $36,000 for an annual impact of $121,000. Using in-house inspection would offset consultant costs, and we would be 70% billable to either CIP projects or developer projects for a budget impact of $36,000. Next slide. The engineer for fiscal year 24-25, the development group is currently managing over 80 projects ranging in size from $25,000 to over $15 million with a total construction cost for all 80 projects at over $150 million. This amount excludes the Five Point development. We currently have one principal engineer and two senior engineers that serve as full-time project managers. Additionally, we have four support staff, one administrative assistant, one assistant engineer, and two engineering technicians. Although the development-related construction has temporarily slowed down, staff has noticed an increase in planning for new development. Based on forecasts from developers, staff anticipates construction of 15 new tanks, 12 new pump stations, and numerous pipeline projects in the next 10 years. Having qualified staff trained and ready to meet the demand is critical to maintaining good service levels. This position is an existing classification at range 37. The annual salary is $124,000 plus burden and benefits of $54,000 for an annual impact of $178,000. This position will be 70% billable to either CIP projects or developer projects for a budget impact of $53,662. Proposing two fleet mechanics, one in fiscal year 23-24 and one in fiscal year 24-25. So the agency has more than 250 vehicles and equipment and more than 50 miscellaneous small equipment, small generators, compressors, chainsaws, et cetera, some of which are specialty vehicles and equipment that can only be serviced by a limited number of mechanics. In some situations, the manufacturers for these types of equipment have told staff that they do not have enough mechanics to service the agency's equipment and that it may take up to a month before they can send a mechanic. Having an in-house mechanic would allow the agency to reduce repair costs while also completing repairs in a timely manner, especially during emergencies. The addition of these two positions will enable the agency to be more prepared in the event of an emergency, outsourcing cost savings, and shorter repair times. Most agencies the size of SCB Water have two plus in-house mechanics, which was shown in the survey that was presented to the Finance Administration Committee back in November of 2022. This would be a new classification and requires a classification and compensation study to determine salary range, which is nearly complete. For budget purposes, this position has been placed at range 30. This annual salary is $88,000 plus burden and benefits of $38,000 for an annual budget impact of $127,000. In fiscal year 23-24, the mechanic position will have no budgetary impact. And in fiscal year 23 and 24-25 will have an approximate 50% impact as the in-house cost for the mechanics will save approximately $200,000 in outsourcing costs. The fiscal year 24-25 budgetary impact would be $63,000. Next slide. The Water Conservation Specialist 2, this is proposed as a limited duration employee. New water conservation legislative mandates, AB 1668 and SB 606 anticipate significant conservation program revisions to achieve new mandates over the next few years. Water shortage contingency plan and water conservation and water supply shortage ordinance activation, increases in water conservation program services and participation, expansion of strategic plan support, including sustainability efforts. This position is an existing classification at range 32. The annual salary is $97,000 plus burden and limited benefits of $14,000 for an annual budget impact in fiscal year 23-24 of $112,000. So for the IT technician in fiscal year 23-24, as the agency's technology and systems have evolved, the agency now finds itself shorthanded when it comes to daily tasks and support. Three major events have happened to increase the need for an additional technician. The first is the remote work environment. Although staff are consolidating laptops and computers, staff has doubled their peripherals and expanded troubleshooting since each remote employee now has an at-home work setup in addition to a at-work setup that was already supported. Secondly, in the last 2 years, staff has worked with operations to deploy mobile technology. iPads. The agency has added 100 iPads to its system that now require monitoring, support, troubleshooting, and maintenance. Finally, the use of the hybrid meeting has expanded. Not only do board and committee meetings require substantial technical support, that are now additional agency-affiliated related meetings that also require support. Currently, the IT team has no redundancy and has to depend on overtime, strategic delaying of projects, and use of other non-designated staff to help at times. Further in line with succession planning and personnel development to pass on institutional knowledge, this additional entry-level position would support the agency's succession planning directive. This position is an existing classification at range 27. The annual salary is $76,000 plus burden and benefits of $33,000 for an annual budget impact of $109,000. Next slide. There are two SCADA positions, and one in fiscal year 23-24 and one in fiscal year 24-25. The creation of a new operational technology department has necessitated the need for additional personnel. Currently, the agency has one person in the SCADA classification, and this person possesses 20 plus years of SCV SCADA institutional knowledge. This person has designed, built, and maintained all of the Valley's SCADA systems. It would benefit the agency to train additional personnel for redundancy and shift from a reactionary maintenance to a planned and scheduled SCADA management. The agency's one SCADA person also fields all after-hour calls on holidays, weekends, 24/7. The agency needs additional personnel to help balance the current and ever-expanding workload. The treatment plants and distribution systems are operated 24/7 by designated personnel with varying shifts, but this one SCADA person helps support all of the SCADA operations that serve these designated distribution and treatment operations. The agency needs to add two additional SCADA Technician 1 positions. This position is an existing classification at range 31. The annual salary is $93,000 plus burden and benefits of $40,000 for an annual budget impact in each fiscal year of $133,000. Next slide. So HR specialist, I think this is, might be my last one. there has been a temporary human resource specialist position with HR skills and knowledge through a temporary agency from June of 2021 to January of 2022. And there has been a limited duration employee in this position for 12 months since February of 2022. Since the formation of SCV Water, the HR section has processed many recruitments, retirements, benefits, and various projects with an unchanged staff level. As the agency continues to grow, the duties of the HR section have continued to increase, and it is apparent that without this additional position, the department would not be able to support all of the employees and directors of the agency while maintaining the HR functions necessary to achieve goals and accomplish new projects. As recruitment activity continues to grow and for when the department plans to move forward on implementing a new HCM module within Oracle or another product or any efficient system for HR, the HR section would need an additional person to complete the necessary duties and bring great value to the team. HR performed a survey of our benchmark agency as well as other public agencies to determine the ratio of HR staff to employees. Of the reporting benchmark agencies, the average ratio of HR staff to employees was 2.30 and 2.32 for other public agencies. The addition of this position will increase the agency's ratio from a current 1.66 to a 2.07, which is more in line with our benchmark agencies. This position is an existing classification at range 27. This position is currently being filled by a limited duration employee. The salary and limited benefits for this employee is included in the budget, and the annual budget impact to add this position would be $6,011. Next slide. The recommendation is that the Finance Administration Committee recommends the Board of Directors authorize the funding to add 7 regular positions and 1 limited duration position in fiscal year 23-24 and conditionally approve adding 7 regular positions in fiscal year 24-25. And I do have each one of the hiring managers or department managers are either present or are participating in the meeting. So if there's any specific questions on any position, please let us know. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Are there any public comments?
No public comment at this time.
Okay, it's time for board questions and comments. Director Colley, go ahead first.
Trying to figure out your ratio here. The ratio of HR staff.
Excuse me, Director Colley. Your microphone's not on.
something. All right. I'm just trying to figure out this this ratio of 2.3 HR staff for each employee of the agency. That can't be right. Or even our ratio of 1.6 HR staff to each employee. That's, I don't even know if that's possible. If we were at 100% HR, we'd have a ratio of 1, right?
I think that's, it was, the analysis was per 100 employees, but I'd have to go back and look.
100 employees, okay. Okay, so if I move the decimal point over, so 2.3 per 100, or 1.6 per 100, okay. You know, it helped me that, I mean, it made sense. And the mechanics position having a budgetary impact in 2023-24, and then having a budget impact the next year didn't make a lot of sense to me either. Is that just like the Venus for bookkeeping on where to put that 200,000 or?
We were just saying that there's an offset of costs, so dollar for dollar, that we would be budgeting less in our outside services for any of our mechanic work, and it would be done in-house.
But actually, don't we would save 100%.
Well, and save 100% in the first year, and we're anticipating about 50% of the second mechanic in the second year, because knowing that we have some of the pieces of equipment may still have to go out and be serviced if we can't do it in-house.
Okay. That implies that mechanic is not working half the time or something, not producing, I don't know. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I would hope that... we're saving, but I'm very much in favor of adding the gap. That's very good. I also had a question on where do these mechanics work out of? We're going to have to create a shop sometime, right?
Yes, there's been a couple of different locations. So we currently have a mechanic and an intern from Galpin Ford that currently comes in on Fridays and Saturdays and does some general maintenance work. And they were at the Golden Triangle location, but since then we have moved them over to the Rockefeller warehouse, and that seems to be working. They have an indoor space in the warehouse with a garage. They've been able to put in the mobile lifts in that garage, and so far I believe it's working in that location.
And so there will be some budget impact for creation of the workspace, I assume.
I think most of the workspaces there, we'll probably have to have some kind of expense for supplies. So to have some type of stock for parts, filters and such.
Thank you. I think that's it.
Okay. Thank you, Vice President.
Okay.
Is it working?
I guess.
Yeah.
I think all of these have reasons for adding them that make sense. I assume this would ultimately go to the board. And one thing that I did really like was the fact the HR survey information. So I'm wondering if overall we could present some kind of high level analysis for this growth, because I mean, we've had some growth in connections since 2018, but maybe a table of existing staff versus proposed staff. And if, you know, I would like to know, you know, are we in line with other agencies of our size, just in generality? Because And speaking from experience, there's always more work than you can get done in a day, and you always wish you had more staff. But, you know, are we overstaffing for the size of agency we are, or is this in line? I think when that comes to the board, that would be good to know. I wrote down what is the ultimate right size? We do, of course, need to balance consultants for short term. And I saw the one is a limited duration employee for water conservation. You know, at some point, the valley will stop growing as quickly as it has been. And we don't want people that are here to work on growth projects. If everything's done in 20 years, then we may be heavy on people, although there would be retirement. So there is a place for consultants, I think, on things that aren't going to last forever. And the other observation, last observation, was, you know, looking at these things like Sigma, PFAS, you know, even recycled water. New regulations always sound great. People are always all excited about them, but it does come with a cost, whether it's for private sector or for government sector, to implement all these wonderful things that we think we need. It's coming at a cost to the agency and then ultimately to our ratepayers. So that's it.
Thank you. Dr. Hamilton.
Thank you. So I spent a significant amount of time with this item and kind of have a few, I guess, conflicting thoughts about it. On the one hand, I do think it's really important that staff members have fair and manageable workloads, and that one person isn't taking on the work of multiple people and being expected to do that, because that's how we burn out staff and lose people. And it's important to have staff members with new knowledge and new skill sets that we kind of discover along the way, and want to bring in house because there's the need for that work. So I get that. And as a board member, I think we can only rely on the information that's given to us at these meetings, right? Or in these memos. On the other hand, this is kind of my butt, my big butt. On the other hand, I look back at the statements that were made at the time of the merger, at the time the merger was being proposed. And, you know, the community was told that the merger would lead to like $1.3 million in savings every year, with a total amount of savings of, I don't know, I think it was $14 million in the first 10 years. And that these savings would come from attrition and combining positions and reassigning duties. So, you know, I think if my math was right, 24 positions were eliminated or repurposed since 2018. But with these additional 14 positions proposed, it would make 25 additional positions being added since the merger. And that doesn't follow that projection that was sold to the community. Now, I don't know the salaries and the positions that were eliminated or proposed. That wasn't offered to us in this information. So I can't say, you know, comparatively how much was removed from the budget versus how much was added from the budget each year. But in general, it just seems that the trend is kind of adding more positions along the way. And I imagine that's not going to end. I imagine there's going to be probably some more requests for additional positions in the next 5 years as well. So again, I'm just concerned that this doesn't match what the community was told at the time of the merger. And I appreciate Vice President Gutzeit's question about, is this the right size for comparative agencies? I think that's a really good question that might help me like reconcile that in my brain. And then again, on the other hand, if I had a third hand, I do appreciate the information that has been shared at the committee meetings that here when I'm on public outreach and legislation, we just had that discussion. I also listened to the recordings of the other committee meetings so I could hear in more detail these positions that are being proposed. So I appreciated that. And I'm glad I listened to that. And I do appreciate the attempts to show where some costs would be offset and how consultant costs will be decreased by bringing on some of these positions. So kind of laying it all out there. So I think it should go to the full board for a full discussion. I don't think it should be a consent calendar item. I think this is really important to have a full discussion. And just a couple of recommendations. I would say for the water resources specialist position, the one that's going to be more biological focused, I would recommend giving more information. There was a better discussion, a fuller discussion about that in Water Resources and Watershed Committee that I very much appreciated because that was not in this information. And I felt like there was very little information offered on that position. So I recommend adding that in. And I would also add the information. You did touch upon it in your presentation, Ms. Patterson, for the government affairs analyst position, letting the rest of the board know that the contract with the local advocate will sunset. And so that portion of the funding will transfer over to that new position. I think that's important to know as well. So those are my comments. Thank you.
Vice President Gusay.
I just wanted to follow up on the comment on the merger cost savings. Having gone through that, we emphatically emphasized that the cost savings was not coming from staff positions. And no employee, it wasn't planned to cut staff as part of the merger. It was repeatedly said that it would be by attrition. So whatever happened there, it wasn't a action of the merger that changed the staff size. And the primary savings from the merger, which were more than realized, were from elimination of duplicate consulting contracts, duplicate legal fees, other
property taxes.
Yeah, thank you. In case you weren't going to comment on it, I wanted to comment on that because I remember when we were talking to the committee, we pointed out that it was not, there weren't going to be layoffs for the merger. But, and I want to emphasize that we did exceed the projected cost savings, correct?
We did.
Yeah, thank you.
As Director Armitage pointed out, all this, most of the positions that we see here were discussed in the committee level. The ones that I was involved with, of course, was the engineering operations positions that are being requested, which are, in my opinion, worthwhile to obtain because there are savings with all the work that is going on today, and it will continue on in the future, foreseeable for future. And as in all agencies, we live through this attrition, and I have a feeling that that's still going to go on, no matter how we try to couch it. But I recommend that this goes to the board and for a full discussion. And that I am in favor of adding the positions as stated in the staff report. So with that, any other comments, I'd be glad to think. So with that, Ms. Patterson, we're moving on to the board. Item number 6, another good topic, review the COLA data and COLA data, cost of living adjustment, let's put it that way, the acronym, and recommend approval of proposed employee salary adjustment for fiscal year 2023-24 to be presented by Ms. Patterson.
I don't have a presentation for this one, but historically, the agency has considered a COLA adjustment to salaries based on the change of the consumer price index from December to December of each year, which is then factored into the following year's budget. But last year's Finance Administration Committee in March, a committee member requested that staff review an alternate metric, which is the Employment Cost Index, the ECI, which is compiled by the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics for consideration of the annual COLA. So we have added that to the attachment so you could see both the CPI and the ECI data. So for fiscal year 21, the CPI Year-over-year change was 6.94. And then during that year, the index fluctuated year-over-year of a low of 1.2% to a high of 6.94. The ECI indicated a December year-over-year change of 5.50. And then after discussion and consideration of both metrics and budget impact information, the committee had recommended the 5.5 COLA for fiscal year 22-23. And that direction was given to staff to present both the CPI and the ECI data. So attachment one shows the recent history of the agency's general wage adjustments. Attachment two reflects the CPI data from 2018 and the ECI data from 2020 until present, illustrating the percentage change for each month from the same month in the prior year. So for the year 2022, the CPI year-over-year change in December was 4.62%. During 2022, the CPI index has fluctuated with a year-over-year change with a low of 4.62% in December to a high of 8.87% in June of 2022. And the ECI data has a year-over-year change of 5.90 for the same period in 2022. So given the two-year December to December CPI change of 11.56 and the two-year ECI change of 11.4, and the 2023 approved COLA of 5.5, agency staff performed a budget impact analysis calculating the impact of a 23-24 COLA at 5%, 5.5%, and 6%, and that any recommended change would be included in the budget. We see in the report the analysis of the changes at 5, 5.5, and 6%. At 5%, the total impact to the budget is $1.285 million. At 5.5, it's $1.4 million. And at 6%, it's $1.54 million. Now, this impact does include the seven additional positions and one limited duration employee and merit increases. And those positions are the ones we just talked about. So the recommendation for the general wage increase would be implemented with the first full pay period in July. So the salary ranges would be increased by the approved COLA amount, except for the general manager. Individual compensation adjustments within the salary range would be made in accordance with the appropriate personnel policies. If recommended by the F&A committee, a revised agency pay schedule will be forwarded to the board of directors at its May 2nd regular board meeting. The COLA adjustment, I've already gone through the analysis of COLA adjustments for the financial considerations. We are leaving the discussion up to the committee for the percentage of COLA. So the recommendation is that the Finance Administration Committee review the COLA data presented above and select a percentage to recommend for approval by the Board of Directors for a cost of living adjustment for fiscal year 23-24 for all employees except for the general manager. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Any public comment?
No public comment at this time.
Director Colley.
So last year I was the board member that asked for the ECI data. And at that time I suggested that we look at that. I acknowledge the fact that inflation, employment costs lag inflation typically. That we should expect that the employment cost index would go up. One of my comments I made last year, and I hope that we can get rid of a staff report that has, there's two sentences I think in here that provide absolutely no data that's useful to us. During the 2023, the index fluctuated with a year-over-year change from a low of 1.12% to a high of 6.94%. Since we are consistently looking at the December year-over-year data, that's the only data that really has any meaning to us and is the only data that we should conceivably use. If we use November data or any other earlier month, then we are including in that number part of the number we considered in the previous December data. So I ask staff once again to omit the year-over-year data and any discussion of anything other than December in this report. The other thing that I would ask for is the employment cost index data includes what we generally call burden and benefits. And so since we are frequently providing pretty significant increases in burden and benefits, health insurance and the like, we really need to have another column in attachment one that tells us, that gives us an indication of those cost increases, which are of value to the employees. Okay, so when we're paying for health insurance to employees, that's for their benefit and something that they that is calculated into the employment cost index. So in future years, I'd like to see something that helps us to look at the employment cost index in total as it is calculated by the government. Then a minor point, the chart on appendix on attachment one has got the headings change in CPI December 21 to 22. And then it goes, that column is for years all the way back to 2015. The column heading, in other words, is a little bit wrong. So if we can, since that chart keeps appearing year after year, if we can make a note of that and relabel that column better. Anyway, having said all of that, I'm sorry,
which column is so, the
old row? So change in CPI December 2021 to December 2022, mm-hmm. and that column reflects data from 23, 22, 21, 20. You see
it? Oh, yeah.
I made that comment last year, and I think it got lost. So since this chart just keeps reappearing, I just hope that column heading, both of those column headings can be changed to just be simpler. They don't need to be, okay. They don't need to include the years. Yes. From December to December is all they need to say. Okay. Anyway, so having said...
I just wanted to have one comment before you finish in case sure. you wanted to add to it. So the ECI data for wages and salary was 5.9% and yep. the total compensation was 5.7. So from okay. the table 13.
Okay. All right. I did check those numbers and found it to be 5.9. And I check those numbers every year against them. Anyway. So having said all of that, I'm comfortable with a 5.5% increase. I think that would be an appropriate raise for our staff this year. So that's what I would hope we forward to the board. Thank you.
No. Yes. Okay. Vice President Gutzeit.
It's still Googling, but. Googling.
Okay, guys. Mike, I generally agree with Director Colley's comments about what to include in the report and things. I looked up ECI, and I wasn't here when you did that, but ECI is Quarterly Economic Series detailing the changes in cost of labor for businesses in the U.S. economy versus inflation versus CPI. So CPI is the cost of goods, but inflation is the cost to maintain. Inflation for consumers is the cost to retain a standard of living. We know that different things cost different amounts, energy, food, et cetera. I will say in generality, I'm in favor of maintaining a stable standard of living for our employees. So ECI may not be as good as inflation to maintain a family's same standard of living. However, it's fine to include both of them, and they track pretty closely. I was just Googling to see what the differences were. I know that I lost my Google, but the inflation rate, not CPI, inflation rate for 2022 year over year, which is corrected, is December. So that's one thing I agreed with you. We can just show December's. It said it was 6.5, not 6.94. Little different. Still, given that, and given that we did a 5.5 last time, I would think the 6% would be fair if we were trying to keep track with inflation. Hang on. I was just wondering.
More thought.
Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, if we want the employees to have the same standard of living that they had last year, it would be over 6.5% change from last year. So 6% would be more fair.
Can I? Director Colley, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So. A number for inflation, there's an infinite number of people out there, near infinite, that all will cite all the different numbers for inflation. So the data that we have, the published data that we actually have from the government, is the CPI. And the CPI is typically called inflation. It is what the Fed uses, and so if we only wanted to compensate for inflation, then we ought to be looking at the 4.62%. But again, I recognized last year that the employment cost index is going to lag inflation. We're going to lag the CPI. And so I think that rather than looking at CPI or inflation, somebody else's number for inflation, I'd prefer to use the government's published data. And, you know, 5.9% for ECI seems like the appropriate number to consider. And one of my reasons for looking at the employment cost index number is our ratepayers are our wage earners, and they are not guaranteed that they are going to maintain a standard of living. You know, generally, their wages generally do keep up in a healthy economy. And in general, their wages will eventually match inflation pretty well. But that's not a guarantee. And to the extent that our customers, our ratepayers, should be forced to pay the employees of the water agency more than they themselves get as far as the ability to consume doesn't make any sense to me. So that's why I think that the employment cost index is a better measure. I would also note that the employment cost index for government workers is something significantly less than 5.9%, but unfortunately, that data is not available for government workers in Southern California. So staff went and looked at Table 13, which was available for Southern California. And I think that's probably appropriate. So that's how I arrive at the 5.5%.
Go ahead, Vice President.
Just one last thing. First of all, CPI, inflation, and ECI are all government numbers. They're not. They all come from a government source to get the number. I'm reading CPI measures price changes. Cost of living inflation is change in spending by households required to maintain a given standard of living. So that's the difference between inflation and CPI are different. Like I said, And I must rebut because it's one of my favorite topics. Absolutely, the average U.S. worker, even with the recent push in salaries, has not kept up with inflation. Absolutely not. Year over year. And we see trends where people from the 70s till now, the wages are much flatter than inflation. So I absolutely do feel for our customers who very well could not be keeping up with inflation. However, I balance that with the need to, as we just heard, retain qualified employees. It is so hard to find employees. It is incredible. I mean, look at the next agenda item. We can't even get bids for uniform services. Private sector is falling apart because they can't get employees at any price. And I don't think our agency wants to be in that position. When we need to deal with these things, we have to have people that know what they're doing, and we have to retain people that know what they're doing. So to try to compete with private sector, which is frankly falling apart, I already said that once, you know, I don't think that's where we want to benchmark. And, you know, I think it'll come to the full board as to what number we're going to pick, and they're all pretty close. I mean, they really are. It's mostly a philosophy. I mean, between the high and the low, it's off by 250,000 in a, how much is our budget annual?
140 million.
Okay. So 250,000 out of 140 million is not a huge difference. And it's a philosophical difference that I think the whole board will ultimately decide. That's it for my comment.
Director Amatrage, go ahead.
Thank you. So we don't have control over what our ratepayers are paid through their jobs, but we do have influence over what the staff is paid at the agency. And I feel like we wear two important hats when we're sitting at these tables. One hat is to make sure that our fellow community members and our neighbors have clean, sustainable, and affordable water. And our other hat is to make sure that this water agency is a place, it's a model employer in our community, and a place where our fellow community members want to come and work and feel like they're compensated well. So, you know, when I was looking at this information in attachment two, my eyes went to the median. And I know I sent Ms. Patterson a question about this and said, why don't we use the median when we're thinking about the percentage change from year to year and thinking about the COLA increases? Because to me, I feel like that's more of a true reflection of what we're facing when we go out to the market and pay for our groceries and all of that. So, you know, if we're looking at December, if you look at the December percent change from 2020, that was the top outlier at 6.94%. And then when you look at it from percent change in 2021, it was the bottom outlier for that year. So I don't know. I mean, I guess it's been decided that December is what's always used. And if that's the case, I would say at a minimum, the 5.5%. But if we're looking at median, which my eye goes to and makes sense to me, you know, I would say 6% falls more in line with that as well. Thank you.
Director Colley, go ahead.
Yeah, so that median number is the exact thing that I'm trying to get staff to get out of the report, because it doesn't provide us the information that's useful to us at all. So if you look at, you know, pick your month, okay, so pick June, okay, and if you look at that number, and I can't see that. Is it 8.87%? That includes half of the year before, which was included in the number for December of the year before. So the fact that it bounces around is due to the fact that it's including data from a previous year. And inflation changes from month to month, okay, or the consumer price index changes from month to month. So if we are to consider, say June, well, then we need to pick June, okay, and we need to do June every single year. But we didn't. We historically have picked December, and that's an appropriate thing. The reason I think we picked December is that it's available to us each year in time to react and to get all of this done by July. And so I would ask you to not consider that median number, because it is truly of no use in this discussion. All right. So the December number is the appropriate number to use if you want to use consumer price index in your calculation. Although again, I would suggest that employment cost index is a better number. And I agree with Maria Goodside that in general, there has been erosion of wages in the United States amongst the working class, if you will, amongst people like our employees. They've been eroded for decades. And unfortunately, the people that have to pay are generally in this community working class. And if we continue to take a higher and higher percentage of their salary for their water bill, I just don't think that that's reasonable. I think that the hat that I wear that's most important is to take care of the ratepayer. I've said many times that the ratepayer advocate is me. That's this board. That should be our first and our foremost job. And I think treating our employees fairly is also important. And that's why I suggested that we should allow them to catch up over inflation from last year's data. There was a note in the report that they were 1.44% below CPI, which, like I said last year, when we gave them a raise that was less than the consumer price index, but was more in line with the employment cost index, that we would in fact have to make that up, which I'm in favor of.
All great comments. And we're going to have a good discussion at the board meeting about this coming up. My opinion is that being living through these years on the staff side of recommendations, I think the staff has done a great job of showing the different ways you can calculate inflation. And there's all kinds of ways of doing it. My way of doing it is going to the store and seeing that my grocery bill is 5% higher or 10%, whatever. But with that, we'll move it on to the board as a discussion item. And I favor the 6%.
Okay. So then the recommendation from the committee, yeah. Do we just have a split?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
I didn't.
Sure, we have a vote then.
Well, I think three of us have specifically said our number. One of us hasn't yet. Mm-hmm. I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I could go either way. I could go with 6 or 5.5. There you go.
There we go. So, Ms. Patterson, just put down 6% and we'll go for that.
Okay.
Okay. Item number 7. Recommend receiving and filing the annual list of professional service contracts. Ms. Patterson.
So this is just a report that we need to present to the committee on an annual basis as part of our purchasing policy, just to show our professional services contracts that we are still engaged in. It includes multi-year contracts and contracts over $100,000. And then the recommendation is just to receive and file. There was one report that was included in the packet and the report that was posted today. They were one report, but the ones under 100,000 were put in the packet instead of the ones over 100,000. So you now have them all.
Thank you. Are there any public comment?
No public comment at this time.
Do you want to take any comments and questions from the board? None? Director Armitage.
The only ones I'm familiar with are the advocates through the Public Outreach and Legislation Committee meeting that we interact with. And I just don't see the Vanscoyuk Associates contract in either of them, unless I missed it. It's possible I missed it, or maybe it's under a different name. So that's it.
Yeah, we'll get that to you. I'm not familiar.
I don't need it, but I'm thinking it should maybe be on one of these lists. So,
okay,
thanks.
Is this a consent?
Yes. Yes. I don't hear any objection to that. Okay, item number 8. Recommend approval to authorize the general manager to enter into a contract with CentOS for uniform and facility services. Ms. Rowe?
Yes. So back in 2019, we went through an RFP process in order to get a uniform contractor for our uniforms and facilities, which includes mats and rags and those types of things. That contract has since expired, and we've just been on a month-to-month with that contract. We're not happy with the services that we are getting with our current provider. So we went out to RFP. In June of 2022 and received no bidders. So we went back to our 2019 RFP to see who bid and who was the second lowest bid, and that happened to be CentOS. Well, as we were talking with CentOS, we discovered that they were part of our one of our cooperative partners, which is Omnia Partners, which is gives us like kind of group pricing or specialized pricing for government agencies. So we were able to actually talk with them and go through their uniforms, and they had a comparative uniform, a little bit lower in quality, kind of similar to what we were getting, but they also have access to a little higher quality that's still under their contract. It's the Carhartt work apparel. That's the brand name, and a lot of the employees already know some of their jackets are Carhartt. And it will provide a little bit lighter weight fabric so that, since they wear them every day. And they also have access to the high visibility and flame resistant apparel that they will launder according to OSHA guidelines. So the weekly cost for the CentOS uniform and facility services is $1,524, which amounts to about $79,000 for the year. And the Omnia cooperative contract is for 3 years, which totals $237,000. And those current annual costs are already included in the budget, and the remaining contract amount will be incorporated into future budgets. So the recommendation is that the Finance Administration Committee recommends that Board of Directors authorize a general manager to enter into a contract with CentOS for uniform and facility services.
Thank you. Any public comment?
No public comment at this time.
Open up for the board. Questions? Comments? Director Armitage.
Thanks. I'm just curious to know, I'm guessing it's because of the lab coats that it's the lab staff and in the inspectors, what are there? I'm just trying to understand which other staff members require the uniforms that need to be laundered. Is it field?
All our operators have uniforms. Okay. So everyone in the field, utility workers, our water systems worker, they all wear a uniform, pants and shirt.
Okay. And then you mentioned the towels, and then there's, it says like auto. What are those things?
I know we have floor mats and rags, and I'm not sure what else they have. I think they do even like some soaps for the bathroom. So we have other things besides just uniforms.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Director. Vice President Gusite.
Thank you. I'm in favor of approving this and putting it on consent, if everyone else agrees.
Do we have consensus for that? Yes. All right, thank you. It's consensus. All right, thank you. Item number 9, recommend receiving and filing the January 2023 financial report. Ms. Patterson.
Yes, so this is for the reporting period of January. And as I mentioned last month, that we typically budget lower for our revenues in certain months, and December, January, February happen to be those months. With the 10-year trend that we use, a lot of water, outdoor water, is not typically used in those months because of weather. So for the actual month, the actual versus the budget, for January, we were off by about $330,000. But year to date, we are still under budget by $8.5 million. For the expenses through the month of January, we are about $1.2 million under budget. And year to date, we are about 11% under budget, which is $6 million. And so for year to date, our non-operating revenues over our expenses is $2.9 million. We do have some other non-operating revenues, which are, we are currently under budget by $4.2 million. And then we have capital improvement projects in our PAYGO, and we are under budget by about $33 million in our PAYGO projects. Our debt service, this just happens to be timing of our year-to-date debt service, and some of those payments get made in January and some in February, so we're just off there. And that kind of completes my report for the monthly financials, unless there's any questions.
Do we have any public comment?
No public comment at this time.
Thank you. Directors, any questions? We'll move it on. All right. Next item is item 10, the committee's planning calendar. I already know one subject next month.
Yes. So the Valencia retail capacity fees has been moved to April 17th. So we discussed those. And we will work with the consultants and try to get some of the answers for Director Cawley before the meeting, so we're prepared. And we have our draft budget coming up in April. Oh, and let's see, what else do we have coming up? Still may or may not happen. We have an item on there too for our chiller replacement contract, but we should have received some bids today. So I'm not quite sure what those are. So we'll see if the supply is there or if we have to wait and for another couple of years to replace that item or find a way to retrofit it. And that's pretty much all that's coming up next month, but those are some biggies.
Yes, they are. Are there any public comments?
No public comment at this time.
Any questions from the board? Right. We're moving on to item 11, requests for future agenda items. Any public comment about that?
No public comment at this time.
All right. And the last one of action or discussion is item 12, general report on finance and administration activities.
I just had one update. So we are part of the LIWA program, the Low Income Water Assistance Program. And they did just make a change to their program. So before they offered $2,000 to eligible customers who were behind or had past due bills, they've changed that from $2,000 to $15,000 for all of those that are either delinquent or current on their bill. There is one caveat, though, if they've already received their benefit, they cannot reapply for the additional amount. So once they've already received their $2,000, they can't go back for additional eligibility. The plan is still set to expire in 2023 in August. We internally are finalizing a flyer to let the customers know of those that particular change to that program. We are translating it into Spanish. We will have a direct mailer to 2,100 customers who live in tracts that have been identified as living below the poverty line from the census. So we're really trying to promote that program as much as we can. And that's all I had to update on that program.
Any public comment?
No public comment at this time.
Thank you. Director Colley.
Couldn't we target folks that are actually behind to send
notice? We do that too, and it's on everyone's bill, and we do send out flyers, but we're specifically having a another mailer targeting to the ones that are found in the census to be below the poverty line as an extra communication.
Okay. But if somebody got this and they're current on their bill, no matter how poor they are, it's not going to do them any good. Is that true?
As long as they're eligible for the program, then they can apply and receive the funds.
If they're behind?
No.
Okay.
It's both. Yeah. So it used to just be delinquent accounts.
That's my confusion, I guess.
Yeah. It used to be only delinquent accounts. If somebody was past due on their account, they could apply for this assistance. But a couple months ago, they opened it up for either current bills or past due bills. So if somebody just needs help making their payment, if they're eligible, they can apply. We've received 4 payments total from the LIWAP program.
Okay. Interesting. Good for us, bad for the taxpayer.
Any other comments from the directors or questions? No. Hearing none. We're up to the last item. I will say it's adjourned. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.